Honor is a social term describing how people within society evaluate one another. In our culture today, most frequently, we grant honor on the basis of position or status or wealth. Here, Strong's defines the word honor as a value that is money paid or esteem, especially of the highest degree. While honor is an internal attitude of respect, value, courtesy, and reverence, it should be accompanied by an appropriate attention or even obedience. Honor without such action is incomplete. As Christians, we are commanded to give honor to all whom honor is due. In John 5:23, we are commanded to honor God the Father and Jesus. In Romans 13, we're commanded to grant honor to those granted earthly authorities. In 1 Timothy 6, we are commanded to grant honor to our employers. And one chapter earlier, in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, we are told to count our elders worthy of double honor. But tonight, I want to focus on a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 12 through 26 and from the New American Standard Version. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, "Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body," it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body," it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," or again to the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members that have the same, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Here, Paul tells us the importance of honoring all of the members of the body of Christ. Each member of the church cannot have the same role, or we would not be able to function. We cannot all be elders or deacons. We cannot all speak from the pulpit, and we do not all have the abilities to lead singing or teach children's classes. But we are all commanded to show honor through humbling of ourselves and giving respect and attention to those who may not be as distinguished. God has placed each member with a purpose as He desires. Calvin Coolidge, our 30th president, famously wrote in his veto of a congressional salary increase that no person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been a reward for what he gave. As Christians, we should seek to merit honor through humility and service to our brothers and sisters. In Luke 14, Jesus gives us the parable of the wedding guests, and beginning in verse 7, it reads, "Now we begin telling a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, 'Whenever you are invited to someone or invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him.' And the one who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then in disgrace, you will proceed to occupy the last place. But whenever you are invited, go and take the last place. So that when the one who has invited you comes, he will say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are dining at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. When Abby and I were to be married, we had a marriage study with a brother who is the officiant at our ceremony. And one piece of sage advice that he gave me was to always put God first, Abby second, children third, and self last. And since that day, we affectionately began to refer to each other as our number two. And while I'm sure that Abby would tell you that this particular order has not always been adhered to since Bridget came along, it has been and will always be my goal for our marriage. And I think we could all use a similar logic for our Christian family as well. If we always put God first, others second, and ourselves last, we in turn show the honor due those around us and merit the honor that is granted to us.